Okay, good evening, everybody. Before we begin our final slot with our Rosh Yeshiva, I first and foremost want to thank everyone for their participation and their partnership this evening. This was a truly, truly meaningful, inspirational, and informative Lil Iyun. Additionally, a special shout out to Rabbi Greijauer, who put many, many hours into preparing this beautiful, beautiful Lil Iyun. And then finally, on a personal note, on behalf of NTSY Kol, we would like to thank Rav Rosenzweig for taking year after year now tremendous, tremendous time out of his very, very busy schedule in the summer to partake with us in on NTSY Kol. We greatly appreciate the Torah that he shares, as well as even the informal chills, almost like, you know, eating the waffles out on the grass, and some years even playing ball, you know, with some of the chevra. It's something that is very, very much appreciated, and we don't take for granted. So this time, without further ado, Rav Rosenzweig will open with a few words of introduction, and then we will transition to a little bit of a dialogue.
Okay, thank you. Is there anybody where to put this, or
I can just hold it?
I should hold it. Okay. First of all, thank you very much. Can we do that?
Sure, sure.
I'm going to make you hold the whole time. Okay. Posse b'chvod Aksanya. I appreciate the thanks, but I wanted to reciprocate. It's really very special to be here in the summer. I've been here for the last couple of summers and really have derived tremendous nachas, you know, from being here. I have the special opportunity, really, of being connected, you know, I think on four different levels, pretty much, which are all the levels, I think, you know, with of population, you know, that are involved in this very idealistic and very special program. A lot of the you know, people who run the program, the administrators, who also are Rabbeim, are Talmidim of mine. A lot of the Rabbeim are Talmidim of mine. Quite a few of the Madrichim, year in and year out, are Talmidim of mine presently in the yeshiva. And it's wonderful to see them in the summer and learning and thriving and also contributing to others. And, you know, I've even reached the point where some of the Chanichim, I guess, I recognize, you know, from the last couple of years and you know, have gotten to know some of them as well. So it's really these connections are very special and they shouldn't be taken for granted. And, you know, this is really a program that is run in a very intelligent way, in a very idealistic way. And it's really Lahagdol Torah Lahadira. And I'm happy to be involved. And Rabbi Ackerman is just one of the many pieces that I'm talking about, the people who run it, who, you know, I've gotten to know better in my involvement and really, you know, feel very enriched, you know, by these connections. The topic this evening is really a massive topic, but we only have a few minutes because we're going to do questions and answers. You know, when they described the topic to me, it was, you know, to relate to, I guess, some of the challenges of artificial intelligence. But to me, this is part of a much larger topic. There are, you know, precedents to the Torah and artificial intelligence issue. The internet databases, including Responsa and others, the computer itself, you know, which was a shortcut for many things, including finding material, Talmud Torah, but especially the Responsa project and the things that came after it and the internet itself. And of course, much earlier, you know, when communication has developed and progressed over the years, it has always created some of a challenge, you know, how to use that constructively as opposed to as a crutch or something that could undermine, you know, Limudat Torah and the Yigiyah Namelus that requires, as we'll get to in just, you know, a couple of minutes. Software programs. Over the years, you know, the actual history is very checkered. There have been, I think, great successes, including databases, not without challenges and limitations and potential problems, which I'll try to get back to, at least in the questions and answers, but also opportunities. And, you know, there have been other things. I remember that when the computer first came, you know, became popular, you know, personal computers, everybody had these chinuch programs of how to teach Gemara, which I, at the time, have to admit that I thought were going to be an absolute failure. And I think in retrospect, even the educators agree, was a failure because it was more gimmicky. It didn't really add any substance and it didn't even give you more efficient access to material. So there's a whole history. It goes really back to also encyclopedias, halachic encyclopedias, and then, of course, printing itself. How you, integrate new technology, progress that gives you greater access and a feeling of greater control with less effort and possibly less depth, and how you employ that in a constructive way is always challenging. We don't want to undercut the most precious thing in our lives, the Talmud Torah Keneged Kulam. The Gemara says in Brachos on Chaf Aleph Amud Aleph, Kishem Hashem Ekrahav Godel Elokeinu, that the source of, Birchas HaTorah is that pasuk, which implies that learning Torah is a way of, connecting, with the Ribbono Shalom, with his name, literally, to identify with the Ribbono Shalom. We heard this morning in the context of a bris, Rabbi Benowitz spoke very nicely about Kriyas Hashem. Kishem Hashem Ekra Havu Godel Elokeinu is a way of relating to accomplishing the impossible and the indispensable, relating to the Ribbono Shalom who is so much beyond us and therefore should be impossible to access, and yet accessing him because of the gift that he gave us of Dvar Hashem, the Achdut HaMashkil, the Hamuskal, the unity of the Torah that he gave us, which is an access to him. And therefore, Talmud Torah is the most precious of our commodities. It's the way that we find meaning in life. It's the way that we learn values and the purpose of existence. And we would never want to shortcut or gimmickize or do anything that would, make a depth challenged, depth learning challenged. But at the same time, technology always has the opportunity and potential, for good efficiency and for, enhancing our learning. And therefore, a wise rather than an extreme posture is usually the right approach. But, of course, the details are very critical as well. Instead of being, an exaggerated doomsayer or somebody who is just, just eager and jumps on every new trend, obviously you have to think reflectively and thoughtfully about this issue. Now, what I wanted to highlight in the couple of minutes that I have are two themes. One is both of which are connected to the idea of Talmud Torah as Dvar Hashem, as the precious commodity that I described before, and which make the encounter with the text of Torah, the texts of Torah, and the ideas of Torah that are conveyed through those texts a maximalist performance. We should know not be looking to make it easier or to compromise its quality, simply to see it as information to be absorbed. But rather, as I say, it's a living engagement with the word of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and therefore it requires two themes that I want to discuss briefly. Amelus, which means immersion, and toil, yigia, amelus, maximal effort and really sweating or really putting one's all into the engagement itself, as well as the lumdus or creativity that goes beyond, simply the aggregate of information and knowledge, the ability to see a bigger picture and to integrate different pieces of knowledge. That's a very important goal of Talmud Torah, and that's where personal contribution and personal perspective on Torah comes into play. So just very briefly on these issues, the issue of amelus includes hasmada, rigor, certainly an engagement with texts that is maximalist, as I mentioned, and it includes the cultivation of the concept of leida eskola Torah kula, to know all of Torah and to know it holistically. The Gemara says in Kiddushin Daf Lamed, Amud Aleph, that on the pasuk Vishinanta Levanacha, Shehei Divrei Torah Mechudadim Bepicha, Shemishalcha Al Tegamgem V'Tomar. If somebody asks you something, you shouldn't stumble or hesitate. Ella Emor Lo Miad. That's how the Gemara describes one facet of the mitzvah of Limud HaTorah. Some of the Achronim point out that this isn't a pragmatic, you know, perspective, because, you know, the Mishnah Avos also tells us Hevu Mesun and Bedin. You shouldn't jump, you know, to answer a question. You should be deliberate. You should be thinking about it, reflecting on it, you know, etc. Rashi in this week's Parsha also speaks about this issue, just because even you seems like you've encountered the same issue multiple times, each time there may be a separate nuance. You shouldn't be jumping to answer. It's a shear in your shlita of Kol HaTorah Kula, because shlita refers not only to, again, memory or knowledge of information, but an understanding of how the information fits together. And that is something you can achieve only through very hard work, but also a perspective of immersion and amelus. And when you have, you know, easy access, that is something that can easily, you know, be overlooked. The Gemara in Horios discusses the relationship between Sinai and Ochr Harim. Sometimes that is depicted as, you know, the clash between, you know, knowledge or knowing information or access to information as opposed to a deeper understanding. But if you look at the Mefarshim in Horios and much other evidence, both the Sinai and the Ochr Harim each had the qualities of the other. The Gemara's question is a much more subtle one. Sinai, you know, hardcore, just knowledge of information, is a critical prerequisite for lumdus, for chiddush, you know, for depth, for havana. Attunement to the rhythms of the system requires that you know it and that you know it rigorously, that you immerse yourself in it, that you live and you breathe it. Calling it up with a few strokes or, you know, with a command on AI, you know, if that's the way that you learn, is inconsistent with that. Ochr Harim, of course, is clear. That's the Chiddush. That's the Nofech Mishalo. That's when you clearly, even in substance, go beyond the details or the information. You know, many Mefarshim suggested that once books were printed, you know, that it's clear that an Ochr Harim is more valuable than a Sinai. But they didn't mean, you know, that you could accomplish, you know, legitimate or authentic depth understanding and personal chiddush without being immersed and knowing Leida Kol HaTorah Kula. What they meant was that in the fine difference between the emphasis on pure knowledge and, you know, the capacity, you know, to think in a halachic way, that that balance changes when there are other ways to supplement access to information. But access for information, you know, in a more technical say, when a person is already knowledgeable and understands holistically the relationship between the different parts of it and how it all fits in, is, of course, a different experience. Amelus also includes passion and conviction of this indispensable axiological priority of Limud HaTorah, and it, too, is inconsistent with the mentality of expediency or compromising, you know, your personal relationship with the text by virtue of the fact that you have easy access to it. You can look it up, you know, with code words. The quality is key. If one's looking for shortcuts, you know, which leave you with less of a holistic understanding of the system, that is something that is fundamentally inconsistent with the concept of Amelus Batorah. The Rambam in Hilchos Talmud Torah, Perek Gimel, Halacha Zayin, famously explains that when the Mishnah says that, you know, Ha'omer, if a person says, Kishe'efne Eshne, that when I have time, I'll learn Torah, if a person says that, then, you know, Shema lo tipane, it's very likely, or there's a good chance, that he never, you know, will get back to the learning that he even sincerely was interested in. But the way the Rambam formulates it, I won't read it because we want to leave the time for questions, is the Rambam basically introduces this idea in the context of the Keser Torah. The Rambam basically says that a person, in order to be Zoche, the Keser Torah, can't have the mentality of Kishe'efne Eshne. Because since Kishe'efne Eshne Shema lo tipane, he vadai will not achieve the Keser Torah. And of course, the problem is clear. If it's only Shema lo tipane, then why is it vadai that he won't be zoche the Keser Torah? But what the Rambam is telling us is something very profound, and that is the mentality that leaves a risk you know, when it comes to any pursuit, you know, highlights that that pursuit is secondary. It's something that is risk worthy. If really you felt that Talmud Torah, axiologically, Dvar Hashem, is the foundation and the core of your existence, you wouldn't chance it. The Shema Lo Tipaneh already disqualifies you for the Keser Torah. And this, of course, is a critical aspect of Amelus. Amelus is captured famously in the words of Chazal, in Bechukosai Telechu Shetehe Amelim Batorah. The idea is not simply that it is toil, that it is hard work, that it gives you access to the information, but if you want Bechukosai Telechu to understand the inner logic of the halakha, that too requires the passion and the uncompromising standard of Amelus. And consequently, Amelus is indispensable in all systems. At the same time, the idea of Chachma, the aspiration to become a Talmud Chacham, both in terms of Leidas Koa Torah Kula Vishinanta Levanecha, as you described it before, but also other indefinable aspects, things that look like they are not necessarily related, you know, to actually owning the material or knowing the material. The psukim at the beginning of Devarim, you know, talk about a leadership crisis, you know, Moshe Rabbeinu getting ready to hand off leadership to the next generation. And these psukim and the psukim Baloscha, you know, and elsewhere really highlight, you know, what we're looking for, you know, in leadership. Anashim Yiduim, people who have understanding of Klal Yisrael, who are known in their Shvatim. Chachamim, obviously people who have great wisdom. Anashim, Tzadikim, people of great character. In Malach Hashem Tzivakosu, Tori Yavakesh Mipiu. But especially, as Chazal noted, Nivonim, somebody who's able to be Maven Davar Mitok Davar. Access to information is a first step, but the goal, it doesn't achieve holistic knowledge of the totality of the system, and it certainly doesn't establish the interrelationship between this vast, the various components within the system, and certainly it doesn't allow for extrapolating to new situations, even Maven Davar B'Tok Davar. Chazal tell us that while Moshe Rabbeinu was looking for Nevonim, the Gemara says in Sanhedrin, that was one of the qualities that they didn't always find. It's rare to find somebody who's a Navon. Being a Navon is more than being a Chacham. It's for this reason that Chazal, and I'll wrap up, described Talmidei Chachamim as walking Sifrei Torah. There are really two Gemaras, you know, that discuss this. Did I get a Sanhedrin? The Sanhedrin? The Gemara in Kiddusha Nandaf Lamed Gimel Amid Beis tells us that, you know, that discusses this question of standing up in the presence of a Talmud Chacham. The Gemara says here on, check it, Lamed Gimel Amid Beis, that Iboilu Ma'u Lamud B'Pnei Sefer Torah B'Kilkev Rab Simon Rab Elazar Amri Kal V'Chomer B'Pnei Lomdeha Omdim Mipanel Le'Kol Shekein. So the simple reading of the Gemara is that the very strange. On the one hand, the Gemara is telling you that we knew that you stand in the presence of serious Talmidei Chachamim before we knew that you stand in the presence of a Sefer Torah. On the other hand, the Gemara also is telling us that it's a Kol Shekein. If you stand for Talmidei Chachamim, where apparently there's a makor for that, then you should certainly stand for a Sefer Torah, for Chefetz Shel Torah. After all, Chefetz Shel Torah is superior to Lomdeha. That would be the simple reading of the Gemara. Although the Gemara then continues, Rabbi Eloi v'Rabbi Yaakov bar Zav, they have a Yosfi, Cholif Yozel Rab Shimon bar Abba, the Kamu Mikame, they stood up for him. Omer Lehu Chada Da'asun Chachimi, number one, on that level, Vanachaber, Vod Klum Torah Medes Bifnei Lomdeha. They were learning, so he felt that was Chafza Shal Torah. They shouldn't have stood up. The Gemara says, Savar La Karab Lazar, who said, Ein Talmud Chacham Rashai Lamod, Mipnei Rabba B'Shasha Osek B'Torah. But the Gemara concludes that Layit Alei Abaya, that Abaya rejected this. But the Gemara in Makos. The Gemara in Makos on Afchabes, Amad Beis, I assume Sanhedrin has Makos in it. says Anan Bavloi Tivshoi, that the Babylonians are fools because they're omdim bifnei Sefer Torah, and they stand in the presence of a Sefer Torah, but they refuse to stand in the presence of a Talmud Chacham. This is a Gemara in Kav Beis, Amud Beis. So the Gemara says, the Gemara says that this is based on the Mishnah, because the Mishnah says earlier that Makos is given 40. Makos in the Torah says 40. Chazal say that it's only 39. And therefore, Rava said, Kama tipshoi sharinshi dekaimi mikama sefer Torah, velo kaimi mikami gavra rabba, dila besefer Torah, ksiv arboim, beosir abanon, batsru chada. So the Ran already asks the question. It seems to be a stira between the Gemara in Kiddushin and the Gemara in Makos, which is more important, Sefer Torah or Talmud Chacham. The Ran famously gives an answer, very interesting answers of the Rishonim, but we're not going to take the time now. And that is that the Ran points out that actually even the Gemara in Kiddushin admits that it was known that you stand b'pnei lomdeha before standing with Sefer Torah, and that the bigger idea is that there's no stira between the two. The reason that you stand for a Talmud Chacham is because if he has really achieved the status of Chachmei HaMesorah, then he himself represents Chafetz Shel Torah by virtue of the contributions that he makes. And that's what the Gemara meant. What the Gemara meant was, we're learning the sources in the Chumash. It says Arbaim. But Chachmei HaMesorah, no, Kol HaTorah Kula, and who have also the wisdom and the knowledge, the chiddush, to know, what is, when you have to go beyond the text, or when you have to interpret the text in a more, allegorical way, etc., consistent with the totality of the system. So in that respect, the Talmud Chacham is more powerful. He is an extension of Chafetz Shel Torah. And of course, this is only possible when you have the concept of chiddush. Let me just close by saying, there are numerous Gemaras that speak about the power of Chiddush. The idea of Chiddush is really something that is more than the sum of its parts, something that is more than the information, that produces it. That's what a Chiddush is. That's why Ha'omer Davar B'Shem Amro Mevi Ge'ula Li'Olam. It's part of Torah, but it's connected with an individual. That part of the Chiddush of Maimon Har Sinai, as the Gemara explains in the Psachim on Samach Chesed Beis, is Kama Yosei Ika Bishuka. If not for the Matan Torah and the junior partnership that Klal Yisrael was given, Chachmei HaMesorah, with the Rabbonu Shalom in interpreting the Torah rigorously and methodologically soundly, right, there wouldn't be the Torah that we have. Torah is a combination of the potential in Torah Shebichsav and the concepts and the way that they were actually understood, Adli Ameinu Anu, by Chachmei HaMesorah, who encounter new information. So while databases and efficiency, all of that can be very constructive, it depends how it's used. But in the end of the day, there is no substitution for Amelus B'Torah and for Chiddush. The Rav in his Yishalacha has essentially two sections. The first is the idea of, not Amelus, but Shibud, surrender to the will of the Rabbonu Shalom and to the system of Halacha, where a person bends his own thinking and sees the halacha as a prism of his reality. And then the second half of Ish Halacha is all about how, when he does that, he becomes an insider who becomes part of the system and whose chiddush is admired when it's properly pursued. And that's what adds to the Torah and to the Mesorah in its own right. So, Baruch Elokeinu Shebaranu Lechvodo, V'dilonu Min HaToyim V'nasa Lonu Es HaTorah V'chayi Olam Nata V'sachenu. We're so blessed to be Yoshvei Beis HaMedrash and to have Rabbeim. I know I had Rabbeim who were Chachmei HaMesorah, who really represented these themes of Amelus and Chachma and Havana and Chiddush, people who also had the wisdom, that's part of the Havana and being a Chachmei HaMesorah, of not rejecting new technology, but also not becoming too carried away with it, understanding the timeless, eternal aspect of Torah, and how, therefore, to integrate new opportunities as opposed to undermining that timelessness.
Okay. Thank you, Rebbe, for sharing those very important and fundamental words of introduction. I'd like to shift gears in this conversation to something that I think is on everyone's mind, and that is talking in the practical sense. And the question is, where do we draw the line when it comes to the lack of amelus? There are many individuals here in the crowd that are in positions of teaching Torah in this during the summer as well as throughout the year. And at what point, at the expense of one's toiling in Talmud Torah, does one maybe should or can maybe begin to utilize artificial intelligence to access certain resources to find makoros that will assist in Talmud Torah? And from maybe a learner's perspective, especially many of the NCSYers here, perhaps maybe begin to submit ideas to certain databases and other types of artificial intelligence outlets that may be able to verify whether their thoughts are correct or logical.
Well, so I think there are two parts to the question. I'll deal with the first part quickly. The question of, again, the madrikim or the rabbeim and so on and so forth. I think that comes under the rubric of a general question of the relationship, of lumod ulalamed. That's a complex relationship. I'm not going to take the time to speak about all that because we wouldn't have time for any more questions. I'll just say very briefly that, the Rambam, some Rishonim count lumod ulalamed separately. The Rambam actually is fascinating. If you look in Sefer Mitzvos and the Koteret and the beginning of Hilchos Talmud Torah, he has like all the different configurations. The emphasis on Lilmo, the emphasis Dafgad Lalame, the emphasis on both. Clearly, the Lamed and Lilmo are both different and also integrated. They're both critical aspects of learning. Sharing with others and also the benefit for your own learning of teaching. But at the same time, your teaching has to be informed by being, someone who people should be, appropriate learning from. Even as a Rebbe, you don't stop learning, although it's hard to find time. Everybody knows that. But in the end of the day, there has to be some sort of a balance between Lilmod and Lamed. The use of databases or AI or things to make, sheets and even to find makoros, if you're not in control of material, or you are, but it'll take you longer to find it, is, I think, a perfectly legitimate thing. As long as, and I think you have to monitor yourself, it doesn't become excessive to the point that you're losing touch. Like, if you don't know where things are, knowing where things are is what I was, one of the things I was trying to say, is not merely a technicality. Like, you want to make sure you're not saying the wrong thing. You want to make sure you have enough information to expand your ideas or to support them. It's also part of your holistic understanding and therefore the impact that the Torah that you learn and the halacha that you're committed to has on you. So I think there needs to be, it's hard to know the exact line between, what makes for better or efficient, teaching, better quality material. But if you reach a certain point where you're losing yourself as a result, I think that becomes part of the battle. You have to keep up your lilmod even as you're doing lamed, and that's also has other repercussions, in terms of time and emphasis and so on as well. There's a similar, I guess, equation, but probably the balance is a little bit different on the Talmidim side. And, I think it's fine, for until you know Kol HaTorah Kula, it takes a very long time to do that, and not everybody can do it. Everybody should aspire to do it. I'm not necessarily even talking about, Bekiyas. Better, obviously, if you know Kol HaTorah Kula, Ba'omek would be Iyud. But these are lifetime, ongoing projects. And along the way, of course, you're not going to avoid, some of the shortcut efficiencies. And if you're like working on a topic, again, the point is you don't want to lose yourself. It's very easy to spend your whole life like being exposed to interesting information, but not really building yourself as a persona, of a walking Sifrei Torah or a Talmud Chacham. And even if we're not talking about somebody who's going to become, a Chachmei HaMasorah, that's true for every individual, needs to grow himself, whether it's Chumash and Rashi and then the Ramban, or Gemara and Rashi and Tosis and then, the Rambam and the Ravid. Whatever it is, you have to work. And there has to be a balance. You don't want to make mistakes, and you don't want to be stymied by having, no access to information. That's why Mar Makomos are good and having a Rebbe is good. And sometimes Sifrei Likutim, encyclopedias and Otzer Mefarshim and Now they have these in the Sifta Gemara. They all serve a function, and they all can be misused in a way that, you know, stunts or impedes or gives you a false sense of your control. And I think the dynamic is different for a Rebbe than it is for a Talmud in both directions. But I think, you know, the first step is being thoughtful or reflective about this question and, you know, not being extreme, because obviously there are situations where it's beneficial to know more things or to interest people, you know, in the interesting material. But the idea that that has to be followed through with the amelus part and building their skills and reading and developing an intuition. You know, there are always these stories about Talmidei Chachamim, you know, they tell them about different people, either because it isn't true about any of them or each of them, or it's probably true of all of them, you know, in one way. Everybody's heard the story, you know, somebody was sitting in a shir, and the Talmud raised his hand, and he said, but it's against the Ritva in Rosh Hashanah. And the Rebbe said, there's no such Ritva, you know. And then they asked him afterwards, like, you know every Ritva in Rosh Hashanah? Well, Rosh Hashanah isn't so difficult to know every Ritva. Okay, every Ritva in Bab Metzia. And the Rebbe answered, whoever it was, you know, if it was Reb Chaim, it was Reb Yosef Engel, it was the Avnei Nez, whoever they tell the story of, could be all true, none true, it doesn't matter. But it's a true concept. I don't know every Ritva in Bab Metzia, but Lo Yitachein, you know, the Ritva would say that. Sometimes he says it, but, you know, usually they're right. It's really what the Rambam means when he says yearly. Rambam says, when I say yearly, I don't have a source. So most people think, oh, so that's a weaker Rambam. I think it's a stronger Rambam. If from a Rambam point of view, I mean, the Rambam's admitting, I don't have a makar. But he's saying, if he's saying it without a makar, and he's saying yearly, what he's saying is, I don't need a makar. It's the whole system speaking. You don't get to have those kind of strong opinions, right or wrong, legend, you know, yes or no, but you get the idea, unless you build up like an attunement, you know, to the system. And you can only do that by really engaging the text, you know, day after day after day. And that doesn't mean ignoring all databases or likutim or whatever, but it means the right allotment. And, you know, probably there's a range of that, and that's where getting advice, different stages in chinuch is important.
Rebbe mentioned a specific word that caught my attention during this answer. That was the word quality, and combining it with knowing every ritva in Maseches Rosh Hashanah. With Rebbe's permission, I want to just press a little bit more on that particular point, and that is, at what point does the concern of the lack of our quality when it comes to Talmud Torah precede the lack of amelus in general? Practically asking almost, is refraining from artificial intelligence that will result in a lower quality of our own Talmud Torah worth it at the end of the day?
So I think, you know, I think the calculus is not quite so, I mean, again, I'm a quality of learning person. But I do think, you know, that quality of learning, you know, long-term, you know, is different than quality of learning short term. In other words, if I want to catch your interest, or even if I want to stimulate you intellectually, you know, about a particular topic, or I think it's very important for you to know this particular topic, it affects you, it affects everyone, it's, you know, a la peric right now. So that might justify shortcuts, you know, in terms of like methodology and training and reading and so on. But if you do that too much, then at the end of the day, you are impeding and stunting this person from ever being able, you know, to climb that mountain of methodology and of, you know, developing his own intuition, etc. So you need to balance between the short-term quality of what you're doing, you know, on the one hand, and the longer-term investment that you're making in somebody's Talmud Torah. I mean, you have this all the time. It's, again, a lot of these questions, you know, are more acute when it comes to certain technologies, AI, you know, included. But the truth is, it's the same question. You have a elementary school Rebbe teaching Gemara or a high school Rebbe, you know, teaching Gemara. He can present, you know, the topics in a very fascinating way and tell you that all the different shitos and so on and so forth. Or he can spend his time, or he can spend, especially in the younger side, you're making sure that everybody knows how to read the Mishnah, know what the words mean, get a sense of flow of the text. Like, what's preferable? I mean, the quality of the actual tochen of what the Talmidim are learning is greater, you know, if he, you know, does the what seems to be the in-depth way. On the other hand, it's misleading, and it's a short-term solution because this person will never be able, you know, to achieve the higher levels and the sense of independence, which is critical for growth. So, I mean, sometimes it's eis l'asa l'Hashem. You have, let's say, a skeptical crowd. The only way to get to them and get them to be interested and immersed, you know, is to do it that way, and then it's probably educationally the right thing to do. But ideally, you want to, as much as possible, invest in the long term. I'm a long-term investor in education. And, you know, if you can, I think, you know, like the Mishnah says, and, you know, like the Rishonim say, you know, you learn Mishnah, then you learn Gemara, you know, you don't go to. I think it's fine to whet people's appetite. But I would always err when you have an audience that's in it for the long term and you want to encourage to be in it for the long term, I would err on the side of a method, you know, and building up skills. But I would whet the appetite, you know, just to show why are we doing this? You know, what's the, at the end of the rainbow, you know, what's the benefit?
The hour's getting late, so we'll have one more question. This is a question that has been at least on my mind for the entire day, and I'm sure at least some individuals in the crowd, and that's from a personal note. Is there a world, is there any world in which Rebbe ever could have seen himself utilizing artificial intelligence as it relates to Talmud Torah, either in the year 2026 or perhaps back in the day in Rebbe's developmental years, whether it be through his teenage years or college years?
Well, again, using AI to me is a very ambiguous. I don't know if you want to clarify it more. I should answer.
Perhaps some of the examples in which we covered earlier today may be utilizing artificial intelligence resources to access Makoros at a more efficient and quicker and higher qualitatively rate, or whether it be to submit certain ideas or thoughts and to check with artificial intelligence to see if it's, you know, logical or correct.
Right. So as I said before, I don't think this is an artificial intelligence issue. I think, you know, people have asked me, you know, I sometimes do these question and answer sessions. So, you know, people have asked me like, oh, we now have the Masifta Gemaras, which I don't use, but I'm familiar with. Or we have the what I call the green books. I don't know if they're – are they still green? Still green. Like, so they're mahut that they're green, right? You know, the green books, Otsa Mefarshe or Mefarshe HaTalmud, or like the encyclopedia, you know, Talmudit, you know, when it came out. Or Bar Ilan response. So to me, it's all the same. This might be more efficient, might be much more quicker. It's also apparently more inaccurate, you know, right now, which is another issue. But I'm even, you know, that let's assume it's, you know, it's absolute accuracy. So in the end of the day, is there no use for these things? No, of course there is. I mean, I tend to be personally a little more on the classicist side, so I'm a little more hesitant. But that's a personal choice. I see nothing wrong. I don't discourage Talmidim who want to use any of those. What I do discourage is don't read Rishonim, you know, mediated, you know, because they're giving it to you in their order. They're sometimes, you know, taking out the best parts, which could be the Raya or one word. I'm not saying they don't do it well. Teams of, you know, Talmid Chachamim work on these things. They're not at all a waste of time. They sometimes dig up very interesting, you know, makoros. What I would prefer, and what I would do sometimes also, like if I wanted to check something, I try to do things on my own. I definitely probably invest more time than I should because of that. But that's, as I say, that's part of it is a personal thing. The principal part of it is to be reading the Rishonim unmediated, and to be building up for myself a method of, you know, understanding with the individual Rishonim and their character and trying to build, you know, the personal things. But that doesn't preclude checking at the end of a sugya, you know, reading the green book or reading the Masifta, or I don't necessarily do it. I don't mostly do it, or encyclopedia. But I think as a backup, or to then, I'm in a position of strength now. I have a view on the Ramban and the Rajba. I have a view on the Hekka for the Sugya. I now want to see, did I miss anything? Or do they have some Bakoros or some Nafkamina? That, I think, is a very good use. As I alluded to, I don't think it's all negative. I just think it shouldn't be a substitute for, you know, broadly the Amelus or broadly, you know, the Chiddush. And it shouldn't interfere, impede. That would be tragic because every person has a Nofech Mishalo. And I think the kinyan that you make when you find things on your own, and even when you struggle, and even when you make, you know, it's, you know, Ola B'yad Chacheres initially, but the process in the end of the day is a kinyan, and I think it connects you to the material and to Dvar Hashem in a very special way. But I don't think that means you have to be so doctrinaire, and you can certainly, you know, in terms of my personal anhagos, I'm a little more, but even I wouldn't be. You know, if somebody shows me, people show me all the time, oh, I saw this book, I saw this Acheron, I saw this in the, you know, this Likud Sefer or AI. If it's something that is, you know, worth, you know, integrating, I just wouldn't want it to come at the expense of my own, you know, perspective. And I think I come to my position as a classicist very much so from my Rebbeim, you know, who's Dmus Diukno. You know, it's very, very real, Baruch Hashem. I'm zocha to have, like, you know, amazing Rabbeim. And I think their Amal and their Yegiyah and their Chiddush, you know, also, you know, would have taken priority, you know, without being, you know, very extreme about it, frankly.
I know it's the 9 days, but I really enjoyed this conversation. I think a lot of people had a lot of fun. And on behalf of NCS Wykola, we thank Rebbe tremendously and immensely for taking time out of his very, very busy schedule to be able to learn with us.